I think you, like me, like most everyone in the world, has run into what I would call an unexpected cross in our life. In the Word of God, Luke, the 23rd chapter, if you'll stand for me, I would like to read to you, starting at the 26th verse. Jesus has already been flogged, whipped, spat upon, beard pulled out, crown of thorns placed upon his head, ridiculed by the Roman soldiers, and is walking with the cross through the streets of Jerusalem. When we see here, it says in the Luke 23, starting at the 26th verse, it says, as they led him away, they seized Simon of Cyrene, who was coming from the country, and they laid the cross on him to carry it behind Jesus. A large number of people followed him, including women who mourned and lamented him. Jesus turned to them, saying, daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. Listen, the days are coming when they will say, blessed are the barren, who never bore and never nursed. Then they will begin to say to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if men do these things when the tree is green, what will happen when it is dry? Two different men, who were criminals, were led with him to be killed. And when they came to the place which is called the skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right and one on the left. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Precious Heavenly Father, I just pray this morning. Lord, Jesus knew he would go to the cross, but Simeon, it was an unexpected cross for him to carry that day. Lord, each and every one of us carry an unexpected cross in our life. Lord, some, many, but all, I believe, will carry one. So, Lord, help us to yoke up with you, to lay that burden upon you, that it might be light and it might be easy. And God, that we might come, that our name is written in the book, in Jesus' holy name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. The story of the crucifixion is surrounded with several vignettes of stories of old that we could take interest in. And they involve lives of many and several people that we know well, but Simeon of Cyrene is one of these individuals that some don't know as well as we probably should. See, he was taken up in a moment. He was just a traveler passing through. He wasn't from Jerusalem. He wasn't staying in Jerusalem. He was just passing through from Cyrene back to his homeland, hopefully one day. He was probably there on business of some sort. But he got caught up in carrying an unexpected cross on that day. Some would argue that Simon was at the wrong place at the wrong time. But I think after careful consideration, and we look at his role in history a little bit, one must come to the conclusion that it's just really truly the opposite. He wasn't at the wrong place at the right time. He was at the place of destiny at the right time. So today, that is what I believe God wants to tell us. Tell each one of you that God may have an unexpected cross for you to carry, a burden that only you can carry. But it is a planned date with destiny, and it's for such a time as this right now. Simon didn't know it, but there was an unexpected cross in his future. When he walked into Jerusalem the night before, it wasn't the closest thing from his mind. He had no clue that he would be carrying the cross of Christ on that day. when he arose and had his breakfast or his meal with his two lads that were with him, I don't think it ever crossed his mind that he might be carrying the Savior's cross to Calvary's Hill on that day. And I think it's the same for all of us. I think unexpectedly a cross comes into our life. These things happen. They're unanticipated. They're unexpected. But yet, nonetheless, they are ours to bear. And the glory is all to Jesus. There's indeed crosses that we carry in this life. Some of them I fully expect. And some of them I don't see coming. The ones I expect are, you know, they come, these crosses in the developing of ministry, the raising of a family, the uniting of a church body, the leading of such, and honestly, the embracing of a community with the love of Christ. They all have crosses in which we bear. The cross that was compelled to carry was not solicited, nor was it sought after. I didn't seek to be a minister. I was called by God Almighty. You may not have sought the cross that you carry, but God intended for it to be there. It certainly was unanticipated and unexpected for me to bear all this. My wife and I sometimes, in private conversations, will chuckle and laugh and say, how did God ever get us here? Wow. We look back after 20 years and we just shake our head. All you see is what you know now. But we have a memory of what God has done. And I am amazed and I stand in awe of a gracious, merciful God and how he can fulfill what he has called us to bear. There are indeed crosses to carry in life. These crosses, they may come like from a disturbing report from a doctor or tragic news received in a phone call or email or a text. They may be something about our children. It may be something about our own health. It may be something about our finances. But they come suddenly, and when we realize them, they become a heavy cross for us to bear. But we need to know that unexpected cross, you do not bear it alone. A sudden setback in life, a long-awaited dream instantly shattered, a deep wound to the emotions. All this is thrust upon us by the uncaring words maybe of somebody previously in our life. They all result in unexpected crosses. And our tendency is to run from our destiny that God has put in our way. Our tendency as men and women is to run from that cross. But God has a destiny and a desire, and the opportunity to carry that unexpected cross will bring glory to him, and he will be the exalter and the lifter up of your head. There's wonderful and valuable lessons to learn from the unexpected cross. When these lessons are understood, a value is brought to the bearer. This unexpected cross, Jesus carried it first. That's the first thing we need to understand, is Jesus carried the cross before Simon ever did. He carried the cross before you ever will. He knows the cross that your destiny has in it, but yet he already has borne that cross for you. Long before Simon wrapped his arms around the cross, Jesus had already tested the weight of it in his own arms. 1 Corinthians 10 and 13 says, no temptation has taken you except what is common to man. Jesus knows those temptations. They are common. He was fully man and fully God. And he knows them. And we too know them. Isaiah 53 and 3 says, the prophet was really revealing to us Jesus in suffering servant passage of Scripture. He says he's a man of sorrows who's acquainted with grief. He's acquainted with grief. If you are grieving, you have a Savior who is acquainted with your grief. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise, because that is a wonderful thing. Job, a man who knew suffering, knew grief, a broken and hurting man. In the 23rd chapter, in the 10th verse, he says, "He knows the way I take." Speaking to God. He knows the destiny he's called me to. He's familiar with the path I'm upon. He knows the way I take. It's not unknowledgeable to him. He's aware of it. And some of us get to the unexpected cross. It's all of a sudden there in our lives, and we think, "God, are you even aware?" And the answer is yes, he's fully aware. He's fully acquainted. He's fully familiar with all. And for me, that is comforting. That a Savior who can deliver me from all is acquainted with all that I would need deliverance from. Remember when Simon grabbed that cross, he didn't want that cross. The Roman soldier selected him. He wasn't saying, "I'll take that job." He tried to get away from it. Somehow in my mind's eye, I see the Savior helping Simon pick the cross up and carry it. For Matthew 28 or 11 and 28 is still true. "Come unto me, all you who are heavy laden. Take upon you my yoke, for it is easy." He would yoke himself up with Simon. But understand that when Simon touched that cross, he touched the Savior. And the Savior's blood was on that cross. And the blood of Christ is upon your life when you pick up your cross and you follow him. It is there. And when you pick up your cross, you touch the Savior, Jesus Christ. There is no greater place than to be yoked there in that moment with the Almighty. The unexpected cross, he shares a load with you, and he shares it now. 1 Corinthians 3 and 9 says, "We are laborers together with God." We labor together with him, and that cross is the greatest labor you will have, not he. He is capable of carrying that cross. Isaiah, the next verse, 53:4, says, "Surely he has borne our grief and carried our sorrows." If he could take all my grief and all my sorrows, he could take all your grief and all your sorrows, and he could take all the past grief and all the past sorrows and all the present grief and all the present sorrows and all the grief and sorrows to come. That is a Savior I need. That is the one I need yoked with me in this unexpected cross that shows up in our lives. 1 Peter 5 and 7, we're encouraged by the apostle. He says, "Cast all your care upon him because he cares for you." I don't know about Simon on that day, but Jesus was encouraging every person he could in my mind's eye as he walked through the streets of Jerusalem towards Calvary's cross. The writers of the gospel record when he spoke to the women, "Don't mourn for me, mourn for yourselves." The writers of the gospel record when the one woman gave him a drink and wiped his face. But how many more would he have encouraged on that walk and that to Calvary's cross? And how much more so would he have encouraged the one alongside him bearing that load with him on that day, Simon? I wonder if Simon cast some cares upon him. Lord, you've got such a great load to carry, but, you know, I got Alexander and Rufus with me here today. We're on a journey. And Lord, the Roman soldiers just snatched me out of the crowd and they made me come here and help you. And my sons, I don't really know where they're at. They're trying to follow, but the throng's gotten in the way more than likely because little boys couldn't get through the crowd as quick as a grown man. And what parent wouldn't care where his sons were? In the midst of a big city they're not familiar with. In a world they're not familiar with. Peter says, cast all your care upon him because he cares for you. Psalm 55 and 22 says, cast our burden upon the Lord and he shall sustain us. I don't know what Simon needed to be sustained in that moment. I don't really know what you need to be sustained in this moment. But Jesus Christ is acquainted with all your suffering, with all your grief, with all that you need. And he knows what you need and where you need to be sustained in this moment. And he is able to sustain you in all of it. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, he says. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. My burden is light. I remember one preacher man preaching about the yoke of Jesus Christ. And it's interesting because the yoke was always made double. And the lead one was always put on the left. And the younger or weaker was put on the right. Or the one that was trying to be trained and be taught. It's interesting because the one on the right you could often see in the team behind in the fields at work would roll its shoulders over. And the other would take a greater weight and bear forward. And Christ would do the same for you today. Take my yoke, it's not your yoke, it's his yoke upon you. Roll your shoulders and your burden, let him take the burden for you, that he might bring healing. This unexpected cross, you've been prepared for such a task. We don't understand it, but God does. Jeremiah 1 and 5, he says, before I formed you, I knew you, I sanctified you, and I ordained you, I called you. Yet while you were in your mother's womb, he is aware of who you are, and he is aware of the destiny upon your life and the unexpected cross that would come. I wonder why Simon was chosen out of a crowd to carry this load with Jesus. I mean, there must have been many other men. Could it be that he was an obvious choice to the Roman soldiers? Did he give the appearance that he could handle the load more than others around? If so, was it because of his muscular tone or his appearance? If that's the case, then if life's experiences have prepared him for such a moment as that, then maybe somehow just suppose your life experiences have prepared you for such a time as your unexpected cross. You see, I'm not dealing with anything today that God hasn't already prepared me for through the experiences. They have all come to the culmination of this moment for this time, for this day. And tomorrow, everything that has happened will be sufficient for me to make it through the tomorrow. But I don't put my concern there. There's enough concern in this day for all God has given me to do. I don't shy from the experiences that have come my way, the crosses that are unexpected in my life. I embrace them and I say, God, show me, strengthen me, send me. Esther, we all know, her uncle Mordecai, he was a great guy. You were brought to the kingdom for such a time as this. Esther, a young queen, a young lady in the court of a king. She's kind of out of place. Taken from a Jewish home and placed into the court for such a time as this. Could be that she would have to lay down her life to speak to the king. She was willing. That unexpected cross came in a moment. 1 Peter 5 and 10 says this, "The God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that he had suffered a while, will make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you." Let's read that again just a moment, because there's something there. If you want to flip and underline this verse in Scripture, maybe you need to do that. Maybe you need to highlight it a little bit, but some of us think once we become a Christian, it's going to be a rose garden. Uh-uh. That's where Jesus Christ prayed the night before suffering and death, in the garden. When we come to Christ, it's going to be a challenge. It's going to be controversy. It's going to be hard. It's not going to be easy. He doesn't promise us a rose garden. The garden he was in was an olive garden. The reason he was in an olive garden is because he was getting pressed. The reason he was getting pressed is because he needed an anointing upon his life to serve God with all that he has. It wasn't a place of pleasure, it was a place of pressing. The God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while. How many want that? Will make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. We all want to be settled, right, Amay? But we got to go through some other things to get to the settle. Praise God. The unexpected cross is linked to your destiny. It's linked to your destiny. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, you see, I think God wants you to understand something this morning. I think the Holy Spirit's getting ready to speak to somebody. Crosses aren't eternal. They're temporal. There's always a place where a cross is laid down. Even Christ put his in the ground at Calvary. And it is finished. They are not eternal. We give them this eternal perspective that they do not have. They don't have that kind of power in your life. They don't have that kind of authority in this world. They are temporal at best. And there is always a place where they are set down. Always. The cross was heavy, but it had a destiny written on it. The cross was ugly, but it had a destiny written upon it. The cross was painful, but it had a destiny written upon it. And Simon carried that cross with Christ at his side. There was a destiny upon all of that cross. I love what Paul says. 2 Corinthians 4 and 17 says, "For our light affliction is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding weight of glory." This momentarily light affliction, whatever you're going through, whatever I've gone through, consider it a light affliction for an exceeding greater glory. That is our God. I'm destined to become an overcomer. My cross to in life is merely a path that leads to victory. I'm an overcomer. My path is being lit by Jesus Christ and Christ himself. That's truly where I am. I have the light of Christ in me. I don't stand on a cross or hidden. I am not nailed to a cross. I am forgiven by the cross of Christ. And I am lifted up. And all this world wants to throw at us, all the hurt, all the harm, all the words, all the wounds, they're just a cross to carry for a moment. It's a light affliction. And crosses are temporal, not eternal. The unexpected cross. Others follow your example. Luke 23 and 27 says, "There followed him a great company of people." Who's following you? It's a great company of people. I'm certain of it. Sociologists tell us that each person knows about 200 people. That's a pretty great company. They also say that in networking, that you're never more than 5 people away from knowing everybody in the world. If you know 200 people, on average, and you're only 5 people away from knowing everybody, well, I know this person and they know 200, and that one there knows 200, and pretty soon that 200 explodes, doesn't it? Who's the great company following you? See, while I carry my cross, my behavior is being observed. While Simon was carrying the cross, his behavior was being observed. Mark 15 and verse 21 talks about Simon the Cyrenian. And it tells us, Mark gives us another detail. He says, the father of Alexander and Rufus. Two little lads. Boys. They were with Dad on that day. They saw Dad carrying this cross. They saw him get called out by the Roman soldiers and this load put upon his shoulders. They might have been in awe that he could even carry it. And how far he carried it. But that awe turned into glory. You see, history tells us a little bit about Alexander and Rufus. They become leaders in the early church. We don't even realize it. We forget it. But these two lads that saw Christ crucified and their father carrying that cross become leaders in the early church. Simon himself got his name into the Holy Bible. I mean, his name goes down. Their story's told of that man and what he did on that day for all of eternity now. What an honor to be Simon, the one who carried the cross of Christ. But it's interesting. Alexander is mentioned in the book of Acts. Alexander is in Acts and really Rufus is in Romans, so you could associate it that way, right? Word association. Alexander, Acts, Rufus, Romans. Acts 19 and 33. It says, you know, Paul is in Ephesus. And the people ain't liking everything they're hearing. You know, things are going on and the gospel is being preached and there's a little confrontation going on because the cross of Christ will always bring people to a conflict, right? It says that the people, the Jews, pushed Alexander to the front to give an answer in the crowd for what was going on. Why did they push Alexander to the front? Hey, come on, there's a whole crowd. Alexander, you go represent us. You're the leader. And then they all back away and say, okay, he's telling you. He's going to give an answer for all of us because he leads us. Alexander was a leader in the early church. He gave a defense of the faith in Ephesus. Rufus, Romans 16 and 13. Paul is given a whole list of all those people that he thanks for all that they've done. And he says, Rufus, great Rufus, he's chosen in the Lord. And his mother, who I love, and is like a mother to me. Thank Rufus and his mom. What happened to Dad? We don't know. But thank Rufus, for he's chosen. Simon got his name written in the Holy Bible, but his two sons got a legacy. Because they watched their father willingly carry the cross, the unexpected cross that was placed before him. Will you stand with me? Can I have the worship team here this morning? Our example, our experiences somebody's watching them. There's an unexpected cross, I know, in our lives, but I also know the one who yokes himself up with that cross Alexander and Rufus, they watched their father, Simon, unexpectedly called out of a crowd, carry the cross of Christ. And then they spent their life proclaiming that cross to the nations. What changed in their life? What destiny did they realize in that moment? When they saw our Savior die upon that cross and say, it is finished, what joy did they have on the third day when he rose again and they knew the tomb was empty? You see, I need to be faithful to my unexpected cross. I've had them come in this life, and I imagine if I live long, I'll have more. Going to be an unexpected cross. I want to be faithful to it. I didn't see it coming, but God did. And if he found me worthy, then I'll walk. I may not understand, I may not know, I may not feel I can even do that. But it's not about me knowing, it's not about me feeling, it's not about me understanding. It's about me just having a little measure of faith that I extend unto him. And I understand that even on that night when he was handed over to suffering and death, he said, Father, let this cup pass from my lips. Yet not my will, but your will be done. The unexpected cross will cause us to cancel our will in this life. To lay down our life, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. And when I become a partaker of Christ's sufferings, I believe his glory shall be revealed. And I will be glad and exceedingly rejoice in it. This morning, this is what I would like to do. I believe the Holy Spirit is leading me. If you've encountered an unexpected cross, then I want you to come forward here this morning. We're going to pray as a family. If there's a cross that has come into your life that has been unexpected and you were like, wow, I didn't know I could carry that burden, this is a place to come and say, Lord, I yoke up with you. Come. Come this morning. Take that unexpected cross, yoke up with him, and learn that his burden is easy. Come.